Good morning, Holy Spirit. Here we are once again.
Are you that tree? That's the question. Are you that tree? That anything that happens, the storm, the lightning, the thunder, the rain around you, but you still stay firm. The root is deeply in the soil, in the ground. That's why the leaves, the branches may shake, but the tree will not fall. So the question is, are you that tree?
Hallelujah. Jesus said in the same Matthew chapter 7, when the rain will come, when the storm will come and hit that house or hit that tree, if it is built on the rock, it will stand. The tree, this is the tree, your body, the visible part of me. This is the part of my making that is exposed to the situation around me. Feelings and emotions receive attacks from situations we live every single day. Sometimes just a bad news, the tree becomes to shake. That storm can be a situation you face. What is your storm, as I said? What is your situation? What are you facing that can challenge your faith in the Yenugwe? Huh? Let's go to our proof text. And that will help us to usher us into this message we have for you today. The peace of heart. That's our message today. The foundation of your spiritual life. When your spiritual life is grounded on the peace of heaven, nothing on the outside can shake your faith. Nothing, absolutely nothing.
Amen. So let's go to Ezekiel. Are you there?
Chapter
Ezekiel 37. 37, verse 26
yes.
to 28.
Let's read.
So are you there with me? 7 from verse 26. Moreover, I will make a covenant of peace with them, and it shall be an evermore. My tabernacle also shall be with them. Indeed, I will be their God, and they shall be my people. The nations also will know that I, the Lord, sanctify Israel when my sanctuary is in their midst forevermore.
You hear a covenant of peace. Who is speaking? Who is talking?
God.
Covenant of peace. What do you mean, Jehovah Shalom? Remember, in December, we talk about in the introduction of the ways of the Spirit, Psalm 23. And they say, Jehovah Shalom, mean the peace we are talking about is an uncommon peace. It is not a natural peace. It's a supernatural peace. And God said, the sign of his covenant between you and me and him is peace of heaven. Sometimes we say, this is peace of heaven. What is peace of heaven? The unshakable peace of God. Nothing, absolutely nothing can affect that peace.
Because it's peace of heart.
Absolutely. You have seen the tree stand on the solid ground. Remember what the Lord said in Matthew chapter 16 from verse 18. Upon this rock, I will build my church, and the gates of hell shall not prevail. Now we talk about a covenant of peace. This means in the gospel of Jesus Christ we are talking about today, the evidence, the sign of this covenant is peace of heart. I repeat, peace of heart. How do you know that God is with you in the midst of your storm? Aruf.
I think the only way you can know is when you have that peace within. Even if you can't explain it, if everything on the outside seems to be falling down, but still you have that peace within that you're not alone. And truly, you are not alone because God is with you.
Hallelujah. John 14, 27. Now the Lord, who made the promise in the book of Ezekiel, has come on earth to establish what he has promised. The Lord of the covenant is Jesus Christ. Listen to
John 14, verse 27. This is a promise for you. Are you listening? Are you ready to receive this promise? Peace I leave with you. My peace I give to you, not as the world gives, do I give to you.
My peace. That's what Jesus said. Read it again, gently.
Peace I leave with you.
You never say peace I give you. Take note. Peace I leave with you.
To stay.
Who is that peace?
The Holy Spirit.
Holy Spirit. When Jesus came, He never came alone. When he left, he never left us alone. The Holy Ghost came and is with us today.
Mm.
My peace I leave with you. Continue.
My peace I give to you.
Now, my peace I give to you. Not
as the world gives.
Who gives you the Holy Spirit? Jesus.
Mm.
That's why he's our rest. Peace I leave with you, not as the world gives. The world can give you peace. What is the difference between the peace of the world and the peace of heaven? There's a big difference.
The peace of the world is on the outside and it's temporary.
Why is it temporary? The peace of the world can give you peace of mind, but not peace of heart.
Mm.
There are two types of peace. We need to identify the source. Peace of mind, peace of heart. Okay, somebody, you need money. There's no food on the table. You are stressed. How will I do to pay my bills this month? How will I do for this? You need money, right? And somebody, hey, my dear brother, the Lord says I should give you this. Somebody give you money or you have a breakthrough. What happened? You have peace of mind. Your mind is relieved because the need is met. But this is here, temporary. But when you have the peace of God, there is nothing on the outside, no money in the pocket, no food on the table. Your heart is at peace. What's the meaning of that? Okay, let me just briefly, you know what happened to Elijah. When Prophet Elijah in the book of 1 Kings chapter 18, he defied all the false prophets of Baal on Mount Carmel about it. You can read at home. Elijah challenged them and said, why are you hesitating between two sides? If the God of Israel is God, follow him. If Baal is your God, follow Baal. Okay, he said, come together. Let us pray. The prophets of Baal, we're going to pray to God. Me too, I pray to my God. The God who answers by fire from heaven, let him be God. Right? And we saw what happened. Prayed. Fire came from heaven. Everybody knelt down. They say, hey, the Lord is God. And the hearts came back to God. After such a glorious act and deeds, Jezebel said to Elijah, you, what you have done to my prophet you killed, tomorrow, your head, I will cut it off. And the great Elijah ran for his life. What do you think is the cause, Ruth? Why such a big prophet who was bold to challenge the king and everybody and 450 prophets, false prophets? When the fire came, he executed all the false prophets. What boldness. Mighty thing. And the woman said to him, tomorrow, you, what you did to my prophet, I will destroy you. The Bible said when Elijah saw that, he ran for his life and went to the wilderness.
His heart was troubled.
I would say his mind was troubled. Mm. And that is what I said, the difference between the two pieces. Peace of heart and peace of... When we are exposed to situation, our mind is the first to receive the shock. The shock wave of your situation will affect your mind immediately. When bad news comes, we begin to think, what is this? How can I get it? Our mind is affected, exposed to things that are inconsistent with the Spirit of God. Our mind is connected to this body. He controls this body. This body is connected to the realm of feelings, we know. So, if something happens, or you have pain, worry will start.
Mm.
Or you bad news, worry will start. Everything affects our thoughts, our thinking. So when we don't see an immediate solution to it, we become worried. Elijah was worried. Even fear took hold of him. He ran to the desert. It is impossible to cross a desert without food. But his mind was so overwhelmed that he said, God, kill me. That happened to Moses. Go read Numbers chapter 11.
Mm.
The burden, because so much, God said to God, why are you treating me like this? Kill me. Elijah said the same thing.
Yeah, he said, did I give birth to these people?
Yes, exactly.
He was so frustrated. And, you know, in a way that gives us, I think, a bit of comfort, because no matter the great heroes of faith that you read about in the Bible, they all went through situations that challenged their faith, that made them want to give up. The question is, Did they give up? No, they didn't, even though they were tempted to. And that's why being tempted to feel like it's too much, it's overwhelming, it's a normal thing to feel like that. But the wonderful news is that each moment, God gives us the strength, courage, and conviction to stand our ground.
Being faithful to God does not eliminate adversities. Being faithful to Jesus, being a Christian, being a child of God, does not mean you're out of touch. Even Jesus said, let's go to John chapter 14, verse 16, verse 33. What did Jesus say to you and I? Jesus never hid the truth to them. He told them plainly.
John 16, 33. These things I have spoken to you, that in me you may have peace. In the world...
Sorry. But can you say it again? This is very powerful what you're reading.
These things I have spoken to you, that in me you may have peace.
In me you may have peace.
That means you can't have peace without Jesus.
You cannot. In me you have peace. I'm telling you, this trouble will happen. Can you read verse 32? I'm sorry. You want people to understand where we are going.
Indeed, the hour is coming. Yes, has now come.
Oh, my Lord.
That you will be scattered, each to his own.
You will be scattered. And will abandon me, you my apostle. Jesus said, situation is happening today. You are faithful to me. Everything is fine. Remember that he said, when the sea is calm. And? When the wind is calm. And the sea is calm. No one is really tested.
No one is really tested.
When everything is fine, we say, hallelujah, hallelujah. But Jesus tell him, time has come. Your faith is going to be shaken. All of you will abandon me. But I am not alone because the Father is in me. Oh my God, that was a piece of Christ. Jesus said, you will abandon me. I am not alone, but the Father is with me. Me now, it says verse 33. Continue.
These things I have spoken to you, that in me you may have peace.
I'm telling you, this trouble in the world, but in name.
In the world you will have tribulation.
You will have tribulation in this world.
But be of good cheer.
Be of good cheer.
I have overcome the world.
I have overcome the world for you. You who said, oh my God, it's too much for me. God has abandoned me. You begin to be shaken like a leaf. The Lord say, I've overcome the world through me. He say, you will have peace in me.
And I think that's the key. As simple as it is, we so often miss that because we look for peace in other places, or we look for temporary refreshment in other places, whereas actually lasting peace is only found in Jesus.
We look for peace where there is no peace. You think if you have money, you have peace. There are many people that have money, but they don't have peace.
You think if I could just live in that country, if I could just have this job, if I could just get married to that person, I would have peace.
What's the difference between a peace of mind and a peace of heart? Jesus, you have peace in me. That's what he said. Now, if you lack money is your problem. You're in good health. You're worried. Why are you in good health? The other person has money, but he has health challenges. He's worried about his health. Some may have money and good health, but he has trouble in his marriage, fear. So in every section of life, there's something that can trigger worry, anxiety. But that one is a mind, because the mind is screening all the areas of your life. You look at the bank account, oh, it's fine. Peace of mind. What did your doctor say? Hey, diabetes. Oh my God, what will happen to me? Worry. Worry, worry, worry. That's the mind. But this one is a source. When you have the peace of heart, no matter the trouble on the outside, this one will stand. That's the root. It is not linked to outward needs. This one, that's why your spiritual life even holds your life forever. If the foundation is solid, if you have peace, your life will lie secure on it. That's the foundation.
It's the engine that carries our life.
Absolutely. Now Jesus said, in me, you will have
peace.
Peace. In me. I mean, Jesus is the one that gives you that peace. In the midst of trouble, you will have peace. That's what he said. He said, you will have tribulation, but take heart. In me, you have peace. I've overcome the world.
Yeah, he didn't say you will not have trouble.
Never.
Trouble will still come. And if we keep thinking that we're looking for something that will not poke us, a situation that will not frustrate us, a relationship that will not be, that will not challenge us or frustrate us, then this is not heaven. Where we are now is not heaven. We're still on this earth. We've not yet reached our heavenly home. So there will be these things that frustrate us, that annoy us, that provoke us. The question is, have you found the peace in Jesus? Because if it's only peace in Jesus, that will remain.
Many came to Jesus looking for peace. Once their mind is settled, they forget about everything and went back. Whereas the greater, the peace Jesus come is the peace forever. Not temporary peace, but permanent peace. And when that peace is settled in your heart, nothing will shake your faith. Absolutely nothing. That's the peace of heaven, the peace of conscience, the peace of heart that Jesus wants to give you. So I was talking about Elijah. When Elijah ran to the presence of God in 1 Kings chapter 19, he went to the wilderness and the angel said, hey, where you are going is so far. God gave him food twice. He walked 40 days and 40 nights into the presence of God. This is my question to everybody. Why did Elijah need to walk 40 days, 40 nights to the mountain of God in the wilderness to hear from God? Is he not the prophet that hears the word of God when he was in Samaria? Why did he need to run such a long distance to look for God, whom you cannot see? Why Elijah could not hear God where he was? He was overwhelmed. So I want to tell you, our mind plays a great role in hearing the voice of God. Watch and pray. Your mind plays a great role. God can speak here, but the spirit here cannot control this body without going through your mind. Your mind needs to cooperate with your heart to walk in faith. If God says, hey, Racine, I'm here, don't worry not. If I hear that voice, I came. But if this one cannot hear, you begin to worry because you don't discern what God is saying to you. God give you a dream, you don't believe. Somebody speak to you, you don't listen to anybody because you are worried here. When Moses, Exodus chapter 6, verse 9, came and met his people in Egypt and said, hey, God has sent me. The time has come. He will deliver you. Your servitude, your bondage is over. The Bible says nobody was able to listen to him because the bondage was too much. When Elijah came, God said, Elijah, what are you doing here? That's what the Lord said. God can say to his prophet, what are you doing here? He said, Lord, the children of Israel has forsaken your covenant. They broke down all your altars. They have killed all the prophets. Oh, I am the only one remaining. That's what he said. Only one. And they threatened to kill me. That's why I'm running to you. The answer of God was so simple. God said, okay. Elijah stand. An earthquake came. Earthquake. Can you see if earthquake? The Bible says there was an earthquake, but God was not in the earthquake. Then after a fire came, God was not in the fire. What happened after? A wind was shattering the rocks to pieces, like this wind. You see, God was not in the wind. After Elijah hear a still small voice, that's where God is. God say, be still and know I am with you. That peace we are talking about can only come when God. That's why Jesus said, in me you have peace. What is that peace you're talking about? What's the position of faith? When the times are difficult, when you have no help, you receive a bad news, a bad diagnosis of deadly disease, or they threaten to sack you from your work, or you have terrible news that can affect your life. You're worried so much. You run to God. That's what Elijah did. What do we do? When you come to the presence of God, we all do what Elijah did. You open our mouth and begin to complain. Lord, this, and we even begin to interpret things. You see, they kill everybody. God said to him, Elijah, I have put aside 7,000 that have never bowed their feet to Baal. Go back to where you come from. That was the answer of God. Go back to the wilderness of Damascus. When you come, anoint Hazael as king. Anoint Jehu as king. anoint Elisha as prophet at your place since you want to go. God is not moved by our situation. But Elijah said, God, give him. He said, God, take my life. That's what he said. I'm not worth it anybody. God said, okay, go. Elijah will take your place. Elisha will take your place. That's what he did.
Because, you know, worry interferes with God's spirit in our lives. And I think that's, once we understand that, then we'll know that worry is a weapon.
Say it again.
Worry? I said, worry interferes with God's spirit in our life.
What does it mean? This is very thing we need to understand, very powerful. Worry interferes with what?
God's spirit.
What does this mean? I mean, worry will prevent you from listening to what the Holy Spirit is saying to your heart. That worry will come to destroy your sense of judgment. Will bring confusion. You will not be able to discern what God is saying in the situation. If God say, quiet, don't go, you go. You can't hear from God because you are worrying. Worry about tomorrow destroys our sense of judgment. You will not be able to discern what is from God and what is from Satan. Confusion come. And you look for alternative. You refuse to listen to God. When the situation came and they arrested Jesus at Gethsemane, everybody ran away. They forgot what they said. Peter said, hey, Lord, I will never abandon you. I will die with you. Thomas said, let's go and die with him. When death came, at the point of death, everybody ran away. One of them ran even naked. And they left Jesus. Everybody. The Bible says, I will strike. Peace we are talking about is not from this earth. Even in the midst of life threat that peace holds you, you will never be shaken. When the peace of heaven comes into your heart, nothing, absolutely nothing will move you because God gives you that peace. Now we say, how did peace come? Because God is with you. Anytime, go read your Bible. When God called Moses, Exodus chapter 3, Moses was so worried, fear to go to Egypt because he ran away because he killed somebody. If I go there, they will kill me. God said, I will be with you. Exodus 3, 12. Gideon, go and do this. Lord, me? God said, I with you. Jeremiah, I'm a small boy. I can't speak. God's answer, I will be with you. Jesus said, I will be with you to the end of the ages. What's the meaning of this? The name of Jesus, Matthew 1:23. Emmanuel.
God is with us.
And you know what we used to say? If God is with me, who can be against me?
Nobody.
If God is with the nation, who can be against them?
Nobody.
We are quick to say that. But in reality, do we believe it? Now, the Bible says, faith in Christ Jesus brings peace and rest because of the knowledge that God is with us. If you truly know that God is with you, means I'm not asking you to do things on your own. I am with you to make to teach you to do the impossible. I am God. I ask you what is impossible to man. So the glory come back to me. I am with you. You say you cannot speak. I am with you. He said to Moses, Exodus chapter 4, verse 7, 12. I will teach you what to say. Don't say I am a youth, Jeremiah. You will go where I sent you. That ability is Holy Spirit, supernatural ability.
When we try and disqualify ourselves humanly by thinking that we don't have what it takes to serve God, or we don't have what it takes to face a certain situation, that's when we have to look at ourselves through the eyes of Jesus and see ourselves as Jesus sees us. And truly then we will see that if Jesus is with us, then we can do all things through Christ who strengthens us. And it's easy to say that, but to actually live that out, you know, so life is challenging. You know, life is challenging, especially there's so many challenges that face us in this day and age. Challenges will never stop. But we can do all things through Christ who strengthens us through Christ. That's the issue. If we try and do things without him, that's when we get stuck and we get worried and we, but if we do things through Christ, then we'll realize that we'll come out stronger and we have that peace because that peace is in Him.
So, looking at life, its storms and adversities from the human point of view
is a trap.
Is a trap from the devil. Why? To derail you from your natural focus.
Just say that again.
Looking at life and its adversities is a trap of the devil.
From a human point of
view. Looking at life, its storms and adversities from the human point of view is a trap of the devil to derail you from your natural focus in God. So you can focus on your trouble. The trouble became bigger and you see the trouble bigger than your God. That's what the devil said. So because, why did he say that? Because it breaks your union with God is by faith. We live by faith when we recognize our union with God in the Spirit. I repeat, we live by faith. We respond by faith. We overcome by faith. When you focus on the natural and lose sight of the Spirit. When you look through the Spirit, you become greater and you see Satan as small. But when you look at the natural, he becomes bigger than Goliath. So what is the answer? The day you in God brings peace, restfulness, because we truly know that God is with us. Joshua and Caleb knew that God was truly with them. Peace took hold of their heart and they spoke the word of faith. God is with us. David, when everybody was shaking, 1 Kings 17, that little boy was moved by the peace of heaven and he never was disconnected from God. He knew that God, his focus was on God, not on man, not on weapons on the outside. So Jesus said, peace I give you. My peace I give you, not as the world gives. Silver and gold can never give you that peace. It will give you temporary peace. But when the peace of God comes here, begin to rule your heart, it will influence your mind when your mind is renewed. What is the renewal of mind? They said, hey, this is a report. Deadly disease. Wow. Elijah run to God. You pray. But if God speaks to your heart telling you, worry not, be still, I am here. This is the answer. Look at the testimony of that sister today. What's her name again?
Sisa.
No, Sisa and the first one. From
Regina.
Regina. Regina was worried. And in her house, she began to praise God. That's where Holy Ghost started working. The answer to your problem has started already before even we start praying. As I'm talking to you, things happen first in the spirit before they manifest in the natural. Today, many of you, your breakthrough, your healing, your deliverance has happened already in the spirit.
That's why we need to say, thank you, Jesus.
That's it. When Jesus came to the graveside of Lazarus, Lazarus was in the tomb, right? Jesus said, Father, I thank you. Is it time to thank God? While the body was still in front there. But Jesus knew that God has done it already.
And now let the weak say,
my choir has come back. Thank
strong.
You.
Let the poor say, I am rich because of what the Lord has done for us.
Give thanks
with a grateful heart.
Join us
give
to sing. You know the song.
Give thanks to the Holy One. Give thanks. You there, wherever you are, you're singing it much better than I am.
So, I don't know what your trouble is, but begin to give thanks to Jesus Christ today. Begin to give thanks to God in the midst of the trouble. That is faith for you. Begin to give thanks to God in expectation of what He's about to do in your life. Holy Spirit is always one step ahead of you. If you are truly a child of the Most High God, if you truly know and believe that God is dwelling inside of you, who will shake you out of faith? Nobody. God may allow a situation to happen, and Jesus said it. No one is out of touch in this world. You will have trouble, but you have peace in me. Abide in me, and I abide in you. What does it mean? In me means abide in his word. The day you become conscious of the reality of God's presence through this Bible, your life will change forever. The day you begin to recognize how God speaks, the position of his word and spirit, you will run to the right place for rescue. Mm. If you go to man, man's solution will meet you. But if you go to Holy Ghost, the peace of heaven will rescue you and you will never go back into it. The position of the gospel of Jesus Christ, what is the sign of this covenant, is peace of heart.
And if I can just say, when you know the value of peace of heart, you don't want anything to affect that peace. So anything that can happen to you, you don't want to go to sleep that night without making sure that peace in your heart is restored, is there. There's no one is worth removing that peace from your heart. No situation is worth removing that peace from your heart. But you have to know the value of that peace. You have to fight for that peace. When I say fight for that peace, I mean protect your relationship with Jesus above everything. Because it's that relationship with Jesus that will give you that peace. So don't allow anyone to disturb your emotions or worry you enough to take that peace away from you, because that peace is not based on how you feel. It's based on knowing who God is. Because we're not saved because we feel saved or because we feel loved and protected and happy. It's not about feelings. It's about putting our faith and trust in God's word and believing that God is who he says he is. And when we pursue that relationship with Jesus and protect that relationship with Jesus, in turn, we will have peace, because Jesus is peace. He's the Prince of Peace. He came to give us peace.
I want you to read 2 Thessalonians chapter 3, verse 16, and Colossians chapter 3, verse 16. 2 Thessalonians chapter 3, verse 16, and the book of Colossians chapter 3, verse 16. Let's listen to what Paul said about that peace and the giver of the peace.
Okay, 2 Thessalonians
chapter 3, verse 16.
Now may the Lord of peace himself give you peace always in every way.
Again.
Now may the Lord of peace.
The Lord of peace, Jehovah Shalom, Jesus Christ, our peace himself.
Give you peace.
Give you peace from heaven.
Always.
This is the uncommon peace from the uncommon God, uncommon Christ from heaven, not from man. When that peace enters your heart, your fear will go. Mm. Situation may be shaking, but you stand in faith. Nothing will move you. Peace inside of you, because God is with you. You will stand firm. You will even laugh and smile like Paul and Silas. When the peace came, they began to sing inside the prison and the earthquake, because God is with you. Continue reading.
Oh, sorry. I went to Colossians already.
Okay, let's go to Colossians 3:16.
Okay. Colossians 3:16. Let the word of Christ dwell in you richly, in all wisdom, teaching and admonishing one another in psalms and hymns and spiritual songs, singing with grace in your hearts to the Lord.
That's the word.
And whatever you do in word or deed, do all in the name of the Lord Jesus, giving thanks to God the Father through him.
Now, last one, Philippians chapter 4, verse 7, which we all know. Philippians chapter 4, verse 7, 8. These scriptures, you're supposed to know them and read them, meditate them, and that seed will be used by the Holy Ghost to bring peace to your life today in the name of Jesus, if you believe.
Okay, I'm going to start from verse 6.
Yeah.
Philippians 4 from verse 6.
Mm-hmm.
Be anxious for nothing, but in everything by prayer and supplication, with thanksgiving, let your requests be made known to God. And the peace of God, which surpasses all understanding, will guard your hearts and minds through Christ Jesus.
Take note of one verse. It said the peace that surpasses what?
All understanding.
What's the meaning of that?
It means it's uncommon peace, heavenly peace.
It surpasses all understanding.
It doesn't make sense naturally.
It means that when your mind is off, when you can't understand anything, that peace is still ruling. It's beyond what you can see, what you can feel, what your situation looks like. It surpasses all understanding. When your understanding is clouded by fear, when the peace comes, it is supernatural. It's the mystery. It overrules everything you can see on the outside. Your mind cannot affect it. It can affect your mind back. When you have that peace, Nothing on the outside that can affect your mind will affect your heart. Your heart will be ruled by God's word. Let the peace of Christ that surpasses all understanding mean when everybody see poverty, you laugh. What's wrong with this guy? He's poor and he's laughing. No, nobody understands it. The man's supposed to cry, he's laughing. What's wrong with you? Because the peace of God that surpasses all human understanding is ruling your heart. Mm. Will keep your heart and your mind. Take note. Read it again.
And the peace of God, which surpasses all understanding, will guard your hearts and minds through Christ Jesus.
Not just your heart and your mind.
And I love the word used there, guard.
God.
You know, this is what will protect you against
Absolutely.
The attacks of the evil one, of the enemy of our soul. It's the best armor. Because
Hallelujah.
We have to be internally armed, you know. And it says here, it's the peace of God that will actually be your guard in your heart and your mind against whatever arrow of affliction or fighting or discord that the enemy wants to bring against you. The peace of God, if you have the peace of God, nothing can remove that.
Why keep your heart and mind? Because your heart is a realm of revelation from God.
Mm.
Your mind is a realm of the understanding that controls your body. You can never be overwhelmed. You will think right, you will act right, you will speak diligently. This is why David, in the midst of trouble, said, Lord, Lord, Holy Spirit, set a watch upon my lips.
Mm.
My tongue control today. Help me to evaluate each thought and guide each word I speak. When the Holy Ghost comes, he will bring peace or revelation in your heart. And then he will affect your mind by renewing your mind at the point of understanding. He will tell you, this is my will, fear not. Tomorrow, I will do this, it will be over. Your mind is completely renewed and peace come.
Mm.
Peace of heart, because God has spoken. Peace of mind, because you understand your situation is not unto death. This is what preserved Joseph when he was in a dry pit. This is what preserved him when he was like a son, like a slave, sold like a slave in a foreign land. The peace of God will keep your heart and your mind in Christ Jesus. Take note. Don't forget in Christ Jesus. In me you have peace. In me. If Christ, the rock of all ages, dwells in you, nothing will shake you. If your body tremble, that word will never tremble. Jesus is Lord.
Amen.
Peace I leave with you, my peace I give you, not other world give. Take heart, I have overcome for you. The overcomer is Jesus. It is Christ's victory that gives you victory. Supernatural victory, spiritual victory, victory assured. So today, what is your situation? Are you facing depression?
Mm.
Hopelessness? Are you condemned by people, rejected? Are you alone?
Mm.
No way out. You are sick. You find yourself absolutely isolated as the end has come. Your mind is overwhelmed. Depression is attacking you. Negative thoughts is coming to your mind and your heart. You have no hope for answer. Today, I will tell you, Jesus will bring his peace into your heart.
Amen.
If you bring your problem, your trouble into the hand of Jesus Christ, he will put his peace into your heart today. The peace of heaven. Hallelujah. When that peace comes, you begin to give thanks to God. And your faith will be anchored on the solid rock. You will begin to laugh. You will begin to smile. Because the purpose of the devil is to cause you to doubt God in your heart.
Mm, to remove that peace.
Now, how Satan is defeated? He will use situation to affect your mind for you to run away from God. To break your focus. But with this peace, the more he comes, the more you run to God. The more he attacks you, the more you pray, the more you meditate. And as you come before God, he's defeated. Because his purpose was to separate you. But you pray the more. You believe the more. You move the more and God will come. When God says enough is enough, your enemy will run away from you.
Mm.
That is the victory the Bible is talking about in the book of John. Whoever is born of God overcomes the world. What is that victory? He who believes that Jesus Christ, the Son of God. So you can see everything we are talking about here is anchored in him.
Mm.
Jesus. When you are in him, when the overcomer dwells in you, you will overcome every obstacle. You will fear no more. You will worry no more because Jesus, Emmanuel, God is with you today.
Hmm. So I think the key thing to take from this message, there are many key things, but one of them that strikes my heart is people are pursuing peace today. You know, people are looking for peace because they're worried, they're anxious, they're overwhelmed. They're looking for something that can relax their mind, relax their brain, relax their body. They're looking for peace everywhere. And I'm even people that seem to have everything on the outside, they're still looking for peace. Even those that have what you are looking for, they're still looking for peace. So rather than looking for peace, I would say from this message, we have learned to look for Jesus. Because it's only when we seek God and put our relationship with him first that actually that peace will come in our heart. And it's not because we're looking for that peace necessarily, but it's a consequence of that relationship with Jesus, that peace of heaven, that peace of heart will be within us. And that's what the Bible says, when we seek first the kingdom of God, everything else will be added unto us. And one of those greatest things that's added to us is peace of heart. Because no matter what you achieve on this earth, without peace of heart, it's nothing. It will give you stress and become a burden to your life.
This is the word for you today. Come to me, all you who are heavy laden. I will give you rest.
Yeah, come to me.
That's what Jesus said. Come to me, you are heavy laden. I will give you rest. I will give you peace. My peace, the uncommon peace of Jesus Christ, the uncommon peace from the uncommon God, will rule your heart and your mind today in Christ Jesus, if you believe.
So make sure you wrote down some key notes from this message about peace of heart.
The peace of heart, the peace of heaven, the peace of Jesus. Let him rule your heart and your mind today.
And that's our inheritance in Christ Jesus. That is what it means to be a believer. Peace of conscience, peace of heart. That's our inheritance. And there's nothing that is more valuable than that. So make sure you protect your relationship with God. Protect the peace of heart within you. Don't allow any situation, any wind, any storm, any rain around you to remove that peace of heart within you. Because that is your connection with Jesus.
Don't let your situation mislead you to doubt your God. Don't let your situation to mislead you to look for peace where there is no peace. Jesus said, I am the truth, where the true light comes from, where the true peace comes from. And his peace is real. Just believe. You'll be surprised to see your heart at peace. Pressure and tension begin to go. And you don't know why. The peace of heaven has come. Give him a chance today to put his peace into your heart as you come to his presence. Amen.